I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. There's no peace in Syria. That much is clear after two powerful explosions today in Damascus. Syrian officials said they were twin suicide bombings that killed at least 55 people and injured more than 300. It was the deadliest bomb attack in Damascus since the uprising against President Bashar al-Assad started in March last year. While the two sides trade blame for the continuing violence, the United Nations-backed ceasefire in Syria appears in danger of falling apart. But Ahmed Fawzi, spokesman for UN envoy Kofi Annan, told the BBC that the ceasefire is still viable.
What happened today is an abhorrent act. We have all condemned it. Mr. Annan himself has condemned it in the strongest possible terms. These actions escalate tensions, and raising the levels of violence can only be counterproductive to the interests of all the parties in Syria. Those who proclaim that the Annan plan has failed, have they come up with a viable alternative?
Well, so far the answer to that question is no. The World's Laura Lynch is in the Syrian capital, and she visited the site of the bombing today.
It is necessary but grim work. Emergency crews clear up the debris that's scattered across the roadway. With each scrape across the charred pavement, the shovels pick up burnt metal, bits of clothing, and even human flesh. Nearby, the shells of what used to be more than 20 cars and buses show just how powerful these bombs were. So too do the two craters, each several feet deep. The bombs hit just outside a huge military intelligence building, ripping off its facade. But the blast shattered windows and lives many yards away. Men at this small garage are trying to pull away metal sheeting that landed in front of the entrance. The owner sits inside, staring in disbelief at the scene around him. It sounded more like an earthquake than an explosion, he says, before introducing me to his brother, who lives in the apartment one floor up. He invites me to see what's left. The first explosion hit just before 8 o'clock as he, his wife, and three daughters slept. He grabbed his children and moved them back just before the second blast laid waste to their bedrooms. Everyone is alive. He kisses his hands, then raises them upward in gratitude.
Alhamdulillah. Oh my God, thank you.
But with so many others dead and wounded, there's anger aimed at those he blames, other nations who he says support the opposition. This is their gift to us, he says. Is this democracy? Is this freedom? I don't think this is freedom. I think this is a conspiracy against my country. At a military hospital, the first casualties came in within minutes. This soldier, who doesn't want to give his name, lies in his hospital bed. His face and legs are pockmarked with shrapnel wounds. He says his back has deep bruises and his feet are wrapped in bandages. He was in the military building when the blasts hit. He made it out to the street and found a gruesome scene. There were cars that were burned out completely. There was fire all around us, he says. All the houses across the road were smashed. There were people buried under the rubble, including women and children. This is the latest and by far the worst in a series of bombings in Damascus in the last several weeks. Dr. Majid Hassan says it represents a new and alarming shift in what has already been a long and violent uprising.
It is sure that there is something wrong in the head.
Hassan is standing outside the room of another victim with a skull fracture and a brain hemorrhage, who he admits may not survive. Back at the scene of the bombings, the cleanup continues, as do the questions about just who was behind them. As much as people here blame terrorists supported by foreign interests, the opposition insists it's a government operation aimed at discrediting them. Whatever the truth, today's assault on one Damascus neighborhood drives the chances for peace back even further.
The World's Laura Lynch joins us now from Damascus. Laura, there seems to be some debate over who carried out this bombing. We heard a man in your story who blames this on a foreign conspiracy, and that's also the conclusion of President Assad's government today. What is the evidence, as far as you can tell, that supports that?
Well, that's the problem. There is little evidence of who was behind this, and so far there has been no claim of responsibility. Now, you've heard these words about foreign conspiracies before when other bombings have happened. There have been 5 of them this year, and that is a familiar refrain from the government and those who support the government. What you hear from the opposition groups, though, is a completely different suggestion, and that is that the government itself is behind these bombings, and it is an attempt to discredit the opposition. So there is a great divide here, and this deep distrust is growing ever deeper every day. Now, at the same time, I should say that there is a radical group that has emerged that has claimed responsibility for smaller bombings of government buildings. And there's also some suggestion that Sunni extremists from Iraq could have been involved here, but there simply is no clear evidence of that.
Why would extremists from Iraq want to bomb targets inside Syria?
This is only a theory, Marco. Being Sunni extremists, they are targeting a regime that they see as not favorable to Sunnis, the majority Sunnis in this country, the regime being populated largely by Alawites and Christians.
What was the apparent target?
The apparent target was a military complex called the Palestine Branch, and it is a counterterrorism operation there. It is well known for holding prisoners, interrogating them. There are reports that torture was used as an instrument of interrogation inside this building. So that's why there are suggestions that it was the target of the opposition. The opposition says that they wouldn't put it past the government to be targeting their own people in order to discredit the opposition.
Clearly, Laura, one of the big questions today's bombing in Damascus raises is how big a blow it could be for an already fragile peace process. Where does this leave the UN mission?
Well, I think that you could see how much the UN sees this as a serious blow by the very fact that as soon as this happened today, the head of the UN mission here went down to the site and exclaimed his own disappointment at what had happened and urged again that this kind of violent action cease in the name of trying to build a peace in the country. It just becomes increasingly evident every day, Marco, that there is a huge challenge in trying to establish a ceasefire. I mean, there is supposed to be one in place, but it's being broken every single day. Still, the UN will tell you they know if they give up on this now, they are giving up on what they say is the last best chance for Syria to avoid a true civil war.
The World's Laura Lynch in Damascus, the Syrian capital. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
By the way, Laura sent us several dramatic photos from the site of the bombing in Damascus today. You can find them, plus more of her reporting from inside Syria, at theworld.org.